I am not a morning person. I never have been. Although, to be quite honest, my past self would be stunned with my ability these days to be on my feet between 6:30 and 6:45 regularly. Even still, though, I have always found the night to be so very beautiful. I love to watch the phases of the moon over the course of weeks turned months. I've caught a handful of lunar eclipses. I love seeing all the stars. And I long to travel to one of those few dark sky spaces in the world to be able to see even more. These days, my phone camera is finally good enough to capture a reasonable view of the night sky. And on clear nights, when the dogs are let out for the very last time, I am practically giddy when snapping a picture, even on those nights lately when it has been particularly chilly. I love the beauty of the night. I used to stay up really late reading. During seminary, it was the latest of night hours that I spent reading Lutheran writings in the Book of Concord. Several times with that book, I woke up with a highlighter in hand, unsure of where I left off, reading the same sentence twice, three times, four times. Okay, that's enough. Several professors, while I was in seminary, talked about theologians accompanying their rooms with them as they read with the similar night sky accompanying them. And I thought this was so weird at the time, but I get it now more than ever. It is this kind of mystical accompaniment, not unlike what we hear in the reading from the gospel. It is in the night that Christ continues to walk with us, continues to inspire us, continues to listen to our waking stresses, continues to answer and add to all our wanderings. When the moon and the stars show themselves in the dance of the cosmos, here in our moments below, we can find ourselves accompanied with the breadth of witnesses. The voices of folks for me like Paul Tillich, Norman Wirzba, Sally McFagg, Elizabeth Johnson, John Sobrino, John Levinson, William Brown, and so very many others for me personally. But these folks, these witnesses, have staying power through the one who walked this night before. This cloud is joined through Christ, the one given to show the world love and salvation. More than the infamous John 3:16 verse that we hear in this reading, I have found this conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus to be one of the most beautiful in the biblical canon. Perhaps, though, I am biased based on the time setting of this conversation. But what is transpiring here are the wonderings that I have found myself asking in the night. What does all of this mean? How could this be? And here, in this story, Jesus is willing to accompany the questions and stresses. The night setting also shows us that Nicodemus couldn't be seen with Jesus. He is one of this group of religious leaders who has positioned themselves as opposed to Jesus. And so to align himself, even for but a moment, with the enemy would have meant a loss of power, authority, and position. He needed more answer before he could see a sunrise. But Nicodemus had questions, wonderings about life in relationship with God, which he so deeply desired an answer to, and was at least a little willing to risk that loss of power, authority, and position. I wonder, if we are so willing to risk those things for the sake of faithful wonderings, And so Nicodemus shoots into the dark his questions. Probably unsure, anxious about his presence there and the validity of his own words and understandings. And yet, Jesus wades into the dark with him. Back and forth, they tackle complex questions, topics of faith. What are the mechanics of salvation? What is baptism? How does the Spirit work? Is creation involved in all this? What in the world is the kingdom of God? Moses lifting up the snake and the Son of Man being lifted up? Is that liberation? Day after day, we too can feel like we are walking into the dark, our minds loaded with questions and confusions. Calling out for God can feel like a shot in the dark. God can feel as distant and cold as those stars hanging far above. In the same way, though, we also do so much to distract ourselves, blocking our moments to stop and reflect. In our attempts to answer questions with superficial answers, we pollute the depth of a holy moment, losing track of the beauty of the dark, blinding ourselves to the one who actually lingers in the dark with us. The Nicodemus story is also meaningful to me in a way that following Christ is not the presumed, popular, or easy commitment kind of thing. For some, it has necessitated secrecy throughout history. For us today, though, I think it necessitates a gentle boldness. With an ear to those whose position, voice, or authority has already been taken. And so today, as we see numbers of Lutherans and Christians dwindle, I think we are given the opportunity to recapture the joy of smallness, recapture a mission of smallness, to see ourselves as slight in the sight of the cosmos. In smaller settings, we still can do so very, very much. And perhaps more good, more building of the kingdom than has been done before. Even here, in this place, we have begun to adapt to that. Dinner churches, small gatherings of people together around a table. A take your faith with you into your life and family focus idea with the start of both Advent and Lent. Growth in numbers isn't necessary as we grow in faith. What matters is that we are willing to walk those nighttime paths ourselves, for our own faith, and to accompany those who may feel lost or scared in the dark. The future is a dark and mysterious time. But if we wade out, trusting Christ in these baptismal waters, our reflections of ourselves, of our communities, of faith will sparkle in the depth of the night. So let us ask, wonder, and walk together with Christ, who walks with us and all of the stars of the cosmos. Thanks be to God.